thank you for that correction. So with that, I'd like us to sort of continue on diversion. We left off at hazardous waste.
Which number was that?
It was number 9 on the main, on the simplified list. And then on the...
Did you want to sign the minutes?
List. It is
C&D?
Number...
I think it was after C&D.
It is after. It
that.
Was number 20... It starts with 21.
Okay.
So, just in terms of the overall picture, today, essentially, we're 2 months into meeting, December, January. This is, even though it's January 31st, it's essentially our first meeting in February. So we're 2 months into 6 months. What I'm hoping is we can finish diversion by the end of next meeting, or maybe even before the end of next meeting, and move into the next topic. And then I think we really need to focus at least 2 to 3 meetings on the contract, and then to get our report to the legislature by June. So that's sort of a mindset. But I think this diversion conversation is really important and something, if you can all think about between now and the next meeting, come back with items that aren't currently being diverted that maybe should be considered to be added onto the list or generalized topics of items, either specific or generalized. And that, I think, is an important part of our report, is items to be considered. Yes.
I just have a request about the shared drive. Right now, like, minutes are in one section, agendas are in another. It's very hard as a member to tell what documents are being disseminated for this particular meeting. Like, I don't know if there was something added to the shared drive that you guys wanted us to review as committee members prior to this meeting. And I think it would be great to have a folder for each meeting with the documents that are being distributed for discussion, and or maybe added during the meeting, like if we wind up bringing up another document during that meeting, to throw it into the meeting folder. Like, I would like a folder for each meeting. And I think that will help. I noticed at the last meeting that Bill Kemble from the Daily Freeman, and there was another member here, wanted to have access to the documents we were reviewing in the meeting. So I think it would just help us keep track. Like, I went to the shared drive, and I couldn't tell what I was supposed to look at.
If I could speak.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
There is a UCRA folder, and everything is inside that folder.
Right, that's not helping me, because I go to the folder, and I have...
Like, the minutes are in there, the
yep.
agenda, they're all different folders for the agenda, for the minutes, and then all the materials for the meeting.
Right. Just as an example, for the UCEDA meetings, what we do is a folder with the date on it for each meeting.
Okay.
So then it includes the materials to review, so it's the agenda, perhaps the minutes from the last meeting, anything else that was circulated that's new for this meeting.
I can't tell what documents are new to the drive. I know the agenda is new, and I know the minutes are new, but then there's like a pool of like 20 other documents, and I wasn't clear if I should be reviewing some of them for this meeting. I don't think there were for this meeting.
No,
this
there were,
really about
because
going
it was
forward.
Continuation
exactly.
of where we left off.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes, Tracy.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still facing the problem that now I get the email and the agenda as a PDF, but the link is on Outlook. I don't have access to it anymore. I don't know. Do you, Laura?
I haven't been able to.
And I'm
Tyrone
not sure if I have access or not either, because I've just been working on it.
Tyrone,
you're not in
he
the
put
county
in a trouble
system,
ticket for
anything.
The three of us, but he said it could take up to a month.
To what, get you an email?
I
asked the clerk of the legislature if I could get you all emails. Like, I said I would be happy to do it, and she said you should have no trouble reaching.
There's a different way to do it, and that's how we do for UCEDA, that Information Services has been able to come up with a different way to share folders.
Can I show you what I have, and then you tell
folders.
Me what you want, and then I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Okay?
But those are two different issues.
Two different
are they?
Yeah.
They can't reach the shared drive at all.
You can't see anything if you're not a member.
The three of us, and I'll be honest, I haven't tried in a while because you've been emailing the agenda and the minutes, so I've just been opening that like Tracy, and I haven't even tried to look in the shared drive because I saved all the documents that I needed access to.
I have everything in hard copy, and I have...
Yeah, I'm saving them just to my laptop. and not going to the shared drive because I never was able to get it. But I haven't tried again in a while.
Yeah, he said it would take a month.
Yeah. There is a workaround for boards that have a lot of external members.
Yeah.
So we do have a different way to share files that's not SharePoint that you can have the directory for, like, for
is that
you,
something
yeah.
the three of you can sort of resolve
yes.
offline?
We'll talk
just
about
just
it offline.
Just because I know we have limited
yep.
time for you today and
I can't
don't
open this right now,
yeah.
actually. I don't know why.
So.
Okay.
And I'm happy to chat
yes.
with you
yeah.
offline.
Yeah.
Let's do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Because I've just been working off what I've been saving.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So we left off with the hazardous waste, which
yep.
we have up on the screen there.
Mm-hmm.
So, thoughts on that topic in terms of?
It's been an ongoing program. I think it was the League of Women Voters in Manitoba started it in the 90s, and it's effective. I couldn't think of anything else except for maybe enforcement. But
sorry, Amanda. Go
no,
ahead.
I'm not in the right. Do we have generated by whom? So right now we have hazardous waste.
So what we have is the actions were enforce existing laws such as pesticide signage and neighbor notification, increase annual events, increase education component.
I think the event should be ongoing instead of short term.
Possible permanent facility. Legislative action in the form of bans or limits on certain household hazardous waste.
Used motor oil is there. And
yep.
It's not really a thing.
It's anymore. Regular.
Okay. What I do want to flag is that there is a category here for expand conditionally exempt small quantity generators. That's something that is done in other areas, I think, even including across the river. In Dutchess County, so those are like a small nonprofit, a small business, for example. They can't take a light bulb, they can't take any kind of materials that they might find or clean out to a household hazardous waste event, and their options are very, very few and pretty expensive. So that's where the small quantity generators.
So one of the notes I see is possible permanent facility, and in the description it says UCC or RA or other satellites such as the reuse center. Probably the reuse center doesn't want to get into hazardous waste because I think as soon as you start commingling that with reusable items,
mm-hmm.
now you're running in, my personal feeling is you're going to run into problems if you do that.
Yeah, we didn't take any liquids except for paint.
Yeah.
Paint's not regulated like that.
Right.
And what Deputy Laval said, that's a great idea, but the dollar signs go up in my head. It's probably going to double what you're already generating, which would double the fees. So going back to what Manager Joe keeps saying is, who's going to subsidize that cost? And would that be something the county could...
There might be models to look at where it's a small fee, I think, compared to a private, arranging a pickup with a private
But then would you get reimbursed from the state if you were charging?
All things. I know that they do it in other places, so there must be some kind of model to make it work. I can't imagine they would be doing it as like a
that's a great
leader.
Idea. Yeah.
I think there was at one time there was a proposal of having the permanent facility would allow basically continuous drop off and not be tied to an event, and that was also seen as a way to kind of trained as we are to pay attention to the events, having it open all the time just to go and drop off like your electronics.
And perhaps if you had enough room at a reuse innovation center, you could segregate them so you could have the stuff that is not regulated coming in and maybe save some space and some money, you know, just putting in all the facility, just segregating them.
Okay. Any other thoughts on hazardous waste?
I mean, do you think that we're capturing the residential hazardous waste? Is the majority of hazardous waste making it to the events? I don't think
so.
It's getting thrown right into MSW right now.
Yeah.
Or it's just being stored in people's garages until they get around to doing it because they say, oh, I missed another household hazardous waste event.
But I
and that's where I think the more ongoing ones, because I know a lot of people well-intentioned, and then the one day comes up and, oh, you know, that's the birthday party, or I can't get there that day, and then it just, like you said, it sits and sits until eventually they kind of give up and do what Marge said, they throw it in the waste. And, yeah. There's a lot of people that are very well-intentioned and want to do the right thing, but you got to really make it easy for them to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's recycling in general is kind of...
So under events, could that be changed under time frame to ongoing?
I took that
note.
You just
did that?
Yeah,
okay.
Based on what Marsh had said. So what I'm doing is within the SWIFT, within my own computer, is I'm making generalized notes as we're talking about these things, and then my hope is that once we finish a topic, we'll create a draft chapter of the report on that topic, including all these, and then we can discuss that. So I'm trying to capture all these comments as we get them.
And I did just look it up. Dutchess County does charge a fee of the, unlike for the residential, it's pretty much their cost with the vendor.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
So, you know, I know you have to keep it separate at the event, but it does provide an at cost.
So charge a fee for commercial?
Small producers.
For small producers.
Small producers, okay.
So that would make sense because generally it's hundreds of dollars because you have to pay for them to come pick it up. But if you're just paying for the disposal at the receiving end, that would make it, you know, easier for a small quantity generator. And that wouldn't hit the collection point up with the cost.
The used motor oils, I kind of feel like that program is working pretty well.
Yeah.
Most people are in tune with, and all the repair facilities are collecting it. And just based on my experience, I think many of them, if not the majority, they know what the fines can be if they're caught not doing it right, so they just do it right. At least I know my mechanic is really good at it, and I'm assuming many others are. They don't want to mess with the license or their livelihood. So. The next is we have the organics food waste was the next on the simplified list. Trying to find where that is on the...
31.
Yeah. I know this has been a big topic of discussion countywide, so I'm open to hear what people think. Mm-hmm. Is it working? Is it not working? What can we do better?
We're all looking at Amanda.
Well, there's a program across the river that I haven't looked at in 6 months, but there's a small operator. She operates, I wish I could remember her name. She's in Red Hook, and she has a zero waste refillery that she has a storefront. And she's also taken a converted school bus, a mini school bus, and she goes and she collects household organic waste, you know, food scraps and yard waste in bins and brings it. So my point is that it is possible to do this even on a small scale, and I'd like to see the county start to think about how to implement this. And I know, you know, I don't want to make your head explode, but it's just something that I think is the future, and there are models in this area that are, in a sense, pilot programs that we might look at. Kingston is doing something too. I don't know. I've lost track of that. But
I'm wondering on a larger scale, the haulers. Now, many of the haulers, I'm sure when recycling first came out, even single stream, they all, you know, thumbed their nose at it and shrugged their shoulders. But some of them have worked through the process of how to sort those. Could we try to get the haulers on board of the food waste because...
So any of the commercial haulers right now do offer organic hauling because there's a state law and additionally a county law that regulates producers of food waste. So you can call your county waste, you can call waste management and get a quote for an organic dumpster, an organics pickup. They all offer that service. In addition, there's at least two in this area that
mm-hmm.
are specialty for just food waste or organic pickup, either restaurants, residential, drop spots, etc. So there are haulers. They do
but you're talking business. Larger users, I think.
Yes,
right?
No,
yeah.
I'm talking about you can sign up to have them pick up your 5-gallon pail once or a week or once every other week at the end of your driveway.
And they also do large scale.
Right.
So it's
yeah.
saying, so it has
yeah.
the whole
yes.
spectrum
yeah.
covered.
Tracy,
great.
Sorry.
So, I mean, this is something that Legislator Green and Amanda was very involved in as well, just in terms of the county legislation, which predated the state legislation and then was, you know, then the state legislation took over once it went into effect.
No,
right?
Not this one.
Not this one. Oh, right. Okay.
That's the other one.
So we're still in good shape. But the county legislation and the state legislation have to do with large-scale producers. At the time, I recall extensive conversations, especially among the three of us, about the Vermont model and the idea of making a countywide legislating even small-scale private producers. Everybody's producing organic waste. Some estimates say it's as much as 40% of the
right.
waste stream. And like so many of the things we're talking about, it comes down to a recommendation related to legislation because legislation begets the infrastructure. That's what happened in Vermont. There was legislation that didn't happen overnight, that there was a long lead time, and the private sector and the public sector both stepped in to create an infrastructure in order to deal with this. I do know, just as an aside, I do know not just a few, a lot of people over time who have utilized that 5-gallon bucket service, and to a person of the people that I know, everyone stopped over time because they didn't like the stinky nature of the bucket
yep.
in their home or in their garage. What would happen if we were actually to legislate, there you wouldn't have to keep it in your garage for a full week or 2 weeks or whatever the pickup was. There would be drop-off sites all over the county because there would be legislation that covered it. So, again, I think we need to think about whether or not we're going to recommend that there be county legislation for all organics, even down to the local sector.
Yeah.
I can't speak, and I don't know if Amanda can, to the efficacy of both the state and the county legislation on the large-scale producers. You know, it was more than a handful, but it's not so many producers because we're talking about a fairly large threshold. But on the other thing I just want to add is that having run a restaurant, I can tell you that restaurant waste is extensive, and it's entirely either organics or compostable at 99% of the restaurants you go
right.
to. I mean, there's paper products, but they're compostable as well. They're being composted in a real compostable way, not just
yeah.
the way that I compost, which is just throwing it into the woods on my property for the animals to come and get it. Or for just to rot. And that's the other thing I want to add. I know that certain transfer stations have attempted to do their own composting, that has air quotes now in the tape, because the problem is that there's actually a way to truly compost, not the way that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, at least in one of the transfer stations, that was attracting vermin and was not correct or allowable. So I think if we're going to talk about creating composting sites at transfer stations, which is maybe a logical idea, that would need to come with a recommendation for extensive, not just education, but support in setting up a
yeah.
composting facility accurately. We know that the agency has been very successful with its composting program, and that came about through, in part, right through funding secured through the county, and I think it's a model. But I, for one, would want to be recommending a strong expansion and legislation.
So, in Rochester, like 5 years ago, we signed a contract with the composting place that in Kerhoxen, and we were getting so little. We were getting, you know, they were coming every 2 weeks, and we weren't even filling a 35-gallon container because most people in Rochester, or many people that actually are going to take the time to separate it, are composting at home themselves. So it was cost ineffective because we were spending hundreds of dollars a month and with very little return. We then started taking it directly to the UCRRA ourselves once a month or once every 2 months, because however long it took us to fill up a 35-gallon bin, and even that, the cost of the transportation, everything. So we've sort of started mixing it in with our brush and leaf mulch, and the DEC recently came and did their review of our transfer station, and they signed off on it. They said as long as you're mixing it with, you're not just putting the food waste there by itself, as long as you're mixing it with the leaves and the yard waste, they had no issue with it. And my highway superintendent, then when he needs material for something, you know, for grass seed or something, he takes that and he's using that. So for us, but for other communities, they might get enough that it makes it worthwhile.
And that's legal up to a certain tonnage.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I
we were concerned that it wasn't, and they confirmed it is okay.
Yeah, it's a lot,
yeah.
Actually, where
yeah.
you cross
yeah.
that threshold. But
yeah. They were actually very happy with how we were doing it. But I bring it up because what Amanda said is about the haulers, there's a lot of options, but it kind of, those have to initiate from the homeowner who calls their hauler and says, I want one of those 5-gallon pails. And there's a lot of people that probably aren't going to take that step.
Excuse me. I think we should think of it in terms of the larger generators, which are regulated both by the state and the county, and our regulations are a little more comprehensive in that they include schools and healthcare facilities,
mm-hmm.
which the state does not. But we determine legally that we could have more comprehensive coverage. And is this a direct, before I go on?
No, it'll be
okay.
A follow-up to what's been said.
Okay. So there's the large generators, and at this point, 3 years ago, that was 2 tons a week or more. Now it's, and then it went to 1 ton, 3/4 of a ton, and now it's down to 0.5 ton. It's
mm-hmm.
not going to go less than that. But I hate to bring up the E word, but that is a serious problem, is that it's not being enforced.
We don't know what you're talking
about.
Enforcement?
Enforcement.
I finished the sentence to explain it. So I had recommended that the county, who does the education and the outreach and identifies who has to follow this law with a list of facilities that matches the number of employees, and it's a formula, but they determine who would generate more than 0.5 ton a week. And if a business doesn't believe they do, then they can have an independent audit done to determine that they, or if they have a hardship, they can ask for a waiver. There are things built into the law. But my suggestion was to work with the Chamber of Commerce and do a presentation, which would be interesting to others, but it would educate all at once a lot of businesses. And that hasn't happened. It hasn't, the notification has gone out, but I don't think there's follow-up. And the way the follow-up needs to occur is with the UCRRA, who start collecting data from the previous year, and it has to be filed by March. So that takes care of the large, not takes care of, but it points to what's working and what's not with the large generators. And then the small generators are would either compost at home on their property or use the town transfer station or have, what is it, community compost, or somebody else pick it up. But all of those issues, there may be some concerns, but by and large, most transfer stations and haulers have figured it out. For at least 5 years, SUNY New Paltz has been composting all their food waste with Greenway. And I think Lamella is the hauler, and they do it very successfully. And they switch a clean toter for the soiled one. They take it back and they wash it. And that can happen with the smaller containers as well. So I just think that we should organize how we make referrals, citing the law and then getting the law enforced. And that would be a partnership between Department of Environment and the compliance officer who is responsible for enforcing the laws, and that's a whole other discussion.
To build off that real quick, I don't know if you have more to say, but I love the Chamber of Commerce idea, and maybe the way, rather than just getting literature through them, is try to get on the agenda for one of their breakfasts.
That's what I was suggesting.
Where they mm-hmm. really, yes. You get a captive audience, in a short PowerPoint, you can get the information across, and then you can build from that with brochures. But to get scheduled on one of their monthly breakfasts.
The brochures were in your mind. I was talking about a presentation.
Yeah, okay.
And then we actually compost right at the meeting, the food
mm-hmm.
waste.
Laura next, and then, sorry, everybody's hands are up here, so we'll just go around the room.
just to follow up on what has been said, you know, I guess I'll start at the bottom here, but, you know, under enforcement, if we should put these rules into effect, and the city of Kingston is doing curbside, and they said it's working out well. It's in select areas, but they have the drop spots. When I was in Durham, North Carolina, they had drop spots too, and I thought that was amazing. Of course, there's a lot of education there. But then if you wanted to enforce it, at our Recycling Oversight Committee meeting, the mayor said that they had collected 10,000 in fines. So, I mean, they're finding that their materials are maybe only 1% or 2% contaminated when they do end up at the agency, MRF. So it's working. You know, the contamination, you said it was about 1,500. And in addition to that, if we were going to totally regulate all organics that were generated, we should look at networking with local farms. The smaller stores do that. And, you know, restaurants, I mean, the front end where they're doing all the prepping, I mean, that stuff's immaculate. It would be great for, you know, pigs and chickens and any other livestock. And I'd also like to see us address the waste cooking oil. I've read in the paper again that it keeps getting stolen. I mean, it is a commodity. And we were collecting it at New Paltz with our other waste oil, and we had quite a bit. Relatively clean, you know, except for maybe some of the stuff on the bottom, but whatever sludge there was, we asked that people just throw the container in the garbage. So I think it's another low-hanging fruit, so to speak, if we were to just overall ban all organics from the waste stream and waste oil, cooking oil.
Okay. people mind if I just go around the room since everybody, March, you had something
there? No, I'm good.
Can I just say, we predicted 10,000 tons per year that would be collected under the law. I don't think we're anywhere near that, but we did the calculations based on what we thought would generate. And I also want to say that there's a glitch in the law that needs to be corrected. And I was talking with Mike Darcy to try to get language. And it has to do with how the Pollution Prevention Institute calculates the amount. And some of the schools are exempted because they're not serving 52 weeks a year, but their total is calculated and then divided by 52 weeks, and it ends up making them exempt where they need to be included. So I just wanted to add that.
So it should be per year, per operating week or something
yes.
along. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amanda?
I think there's both what we're doing and how we're doing it, right? So what we're trying to do here and what we need to do is absolutely divert as much of organics out of the waste stream as possible for a whole bunch of different reasons. For the fact that it shouldn't be hauled, it's a commodity, it's producing greenhouse gases, it's costly, all of those reasons. I think, though, that the food waste law, the county food waste law that regulates half ton and greater generators is a good example of something that I think it would be best suited, handled almost exclusively by UFRA. When I went back, when that law was being passed, and I went through the existing contract, I think there's pretty clearly language in the contract that says any laws that the county passes around recycling or waste are then UFRA's to implement. So I think that this should be, personally, for me, this is on the top of the list of things to re-examine in the new contract. Because I think, although there was you always remind us that we're, action is now, and it is important, and it's great that we have the law on the books. However, I think the Department of the Environment was kind of a fit that it doesn't really play on the strengths of that department, nor does it have the reach it should or the depth it should, like the resources at UCRA for that issue. So.
And I just want to say, enforcement is not a hot topic. It's something that has been ignored. And we're just, the purpose of the Reform Committee is to point these things out. And it's not like suddenly we're talking about it. It's like a long time of not paying attention to it. And UCRA not making it a priority, and what happens, it's kind of like ignoring climate change. It just keeps getting worse, and the same thing with enforcement. So it's something that I think, dare I say, the new executive director is going to need to face.
So
picking up on Amanda's point, right now we run at basically break even. So everything we divert from our dumping costs us money in the sense that we're not going to collect the tipping fee. So while it might be UCRA's responsibility on the books to implement this, and these are all great ideas and we're in favor of them, the county is going to have to realize that the county is going to have to pay, because the net service fee, if we lose money, the county is on the hook. So for everything that you want to implement, please keep that in mind. We are at break even. We don't have a slush fund. We don't have money to, we'll have our bonding. We're going to be in a good position for bonding because we're going to pay off our last bond at the end of the year. sure a lot of you know this, but so there's that. And, you know, if you want to give the UCRA more responsibility, you have to figure out how UCRA is going to pay for that. And then just getting back to sort of operationally, I spoke with Shabazz Greenway a lot.
I'm sorry, but you said to give UCRA more responsibility. I think some of the things are, but enforcement would not be given.
I'm not talking about enforcement. I'm talking about implementing the composting program the way Amanda was talking
about.
Got
it. Okay.
And enforcement also, by the way. I mean, it's going to cost money for enforcement. If we're going to go to the sort of enforcement that you want, that's going to cost a lot of money. We're going to have to hire people to go and do it. We're going to have to, you know, it's may not be $1 million, but it's certainly going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars when you add enforcement people. It's going to be a lot of money. And then the other thing is, I was speaking to Shabazz quite a bit. He put in a proposal a few months ago, before all this confusion happened with the RRA, about a composting program. And his point, and I just want to bring this out, because I think it's a good point, is that all the closed landfills are potentially valuable resources, because most of them have road networks, have electricity, so that if you're looking for a place where a locality can do a major composting, or even a RIC, a small-scale RIC, we have these resources in place that for a lot of them, and I haven't surveyed it, you know, recently, but a lot of them are just sitting there and can be, with relative minimal cost, be re-operationalized because they have a lot of facilities that would cost money. So that's something we have in our toolbox that we could use, and I just bring it out to the committee so that you keep that in mind as we make these recommendations. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, and we don't have to create a whole bunch of new sites. We have sites that could be available. Thanks.
So, I just want to sort of zoom out for a second and actually reflect back to what Laura said earlier about, on this topic, for me, the big picture is, one, legislation, the possibility of legislating for everyone, and then, two, enforcement. To Jim's point, I think this is a place where we're going to have to be really clear in the recommendations that somehow between, you know, when I started in the legislature and when I left the legislature for the second time, the agency moved to this idea of needing to break even against the idea of clear directives, and I don't want to speak for Legislator Green, but the sort of jump into what you said is, you know, the matter of fact is the enabling legislation and the contract is very specific that if the county passes a law, you're obliged, which means you do it, and if you exceed the funds, then the county gets billed in a net service fee. But the agency has so long, and I assume it in part has been political pressure, has felt this need to deliver no net service fee. So I'm just saying flat out that I'm coming from the perspective that there's no world where anything we're recommending isn't going to cost money and isn't going to end in a net service fee. Like, that's where we're headed. I just want to flag for us on the net service fee that I think it's really important that we have a discussion about the bonding authority that the legislature co-opted at some point and whether or not that's legal and whether or not that should be addressed, because if we're maintaining an agency, it needs to be an autonomous agency and needs to have sole bonding power, and that's my opinion, but we need to actually have a discussion about it. I'm not even sure what the legislature did was legal in terms of taking that or setting a threshold. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll do that with government operations.
I think it's important that we
absolutely
talk about it. So, and I think to go back to something that you said, Supervisor, about most people in your town are composting at home, that may be true, but I would hazard a guess that it's not. Like, I think most people throw their organics right in the garbage. Some people throw them, some people are like me, some people are bona fide, are really good composters, but I think if we actually did a real survey by opening up people's trash bags, the most people put their organics, and the only way to stop that, the only way, is to legislate and enforce, both things, legislate and enforce. So that's going to be a theme. That's going to be an ongoing theme for me in terms of recommendation,
yeah.
legislation, and enforcement. Yeah, and I had another thing, but I lost it. And I know that Regis has been so patient.
Yeah.
So
just to clarify, though, with the composting, people weren't bringing it because – the ones that weren't bringing it were composting. I would probably agree with you. Most people are throwing it right now.
I just remember, just
yeah.
so I don't forget,
yeah.
that my other thought that I don't want to lose, which is kind of an overarching flag, is that I think that in very short order, we should create a survey. We, this committee, commission, should create a survey that goes out to every transfer station. Someone had said that every transfer station has already weighed in on what they're doing, but every time you bring up what you're doing, it's really different than what my transfer station
yeah.
is doing, and I think it would help us to know what every municipal transfer station is doing. It would also be an opportunity for us to connect with municipalities as a bona fide committee commission, and to say we're doing this work and we need your feedback to inform our work. It's a way to say to supervisors.
Regis, I want to build up that with you, Jim, and actually with you, Regis, because it's coming up the end of February, our recycling reports to the UCRA from every municipality are due. I'm wondering, maybe not in this year's, but in future years, if it could be more of a question of, and we recently got a questionnaire from, I think it was from Angela, that said, what are you doing other functions? And like I found that Freon wasn't included on our list. We've been doing it for decades, so I added it to our list. But things like that, the list is out there right now, but the question is how accurate is it? And then the second question is how are they doing it? Like Freon, many different people are doing it different ways. Some people are hiring a hauler to just take the units away and deal with the units and the Freon, whereas we contract with somebody who removes the Freon and then certifies it, and then we throw the units in our scrap metal, and we get money for it. So we don't charge as much money. We only charge $14 a unit to get rid of it, and that's just the cost of us getting rid of the Freon.
You should definitely tell everyone in your organization what you're doing, because most are not doing that.
Yeah.
And obviously...
I didn't know any different, because it's what we've been doing for decades, so... Regis, I'm
okay.
sorry. Thank
no,
you for your patience, and then we'll come back.
I just want to piggyback on what Tracy was saying. I think the missing component is education, legislation, education, reinforcement, education. any of these programs are going to be only as good as people's buy-in. So I feel very strongly about, in a sense, when it comes to diversion. The decentralization, there certainly needs to be centralization, but the decentralization of diversion, if people don't buy into this, this is not going to happen. People will say, you can have a bottle, I'll put an empty bucket on you. Will that satisfy? Yeah, I'll put the empty bucket at the foot of my driveway and you can empty. So I think there's that. And just on the MRDCs, the transfer stations. We have, and I should send it to you, Chair, Angelina Brand had just updated what each transfer station is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all a little bit different. There's a lot of similarities, but some differences, and things that we can learn from each other. In other words, each of the transfer stations. I think the transfer stations will be a big role in diversion, but we're going to have to get all the municipalities and, you know, in your good graces, as chair of all the leadership, in order for anything to be successful, legal or not legal. So, by the way, in terms of we do have a responsibility. AHCRA has a responsibility to enforce, and we're gonna get to that. But we're not going to have a police force of 40 people that are going to go through neighborhoods. We don't expect haulers to lift lids and see they're mixing recycling with. That's just not going to happen. If the haulers get out of their truck, I'm not defending haulers. What I'm saying, haulers
are one of our partners. They really are. If we find them, like right now, you know, we're going to be ending up in court. And I'm not, that's okay. But I think the wise way to go about it is to bring the haulers in and saying, you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for zero waste, okay? However you think of that. And so do you. And so we need to determine what your where your responsibilities pick up and end, and ours pick up and end. So there is a lot of work that we need to pull together. I'm just talking about UPRA. We need to have our staff on board and our board on board. We need to have a direction as to how we're proceeding in zero waste. And all of these topics, you know, are completely essential. But like you, Tracy, I know people who live in Vermont. Friends of mine were telling me just yesterday that one of the best things about moving to Vermont was, and they didn't know this, was the enforcement of both the legislation and the enforcement of food scraps. So it can work. It's going to take some work. It's going to be an all hands on deck. Because solid waste, in my opinion, is a public health problem, and it really requires all of the stakeholders in this county. Certainly the RRA, certainly the county, the county health department, lots of folks, Department of the Environment. We all have to get on this because we're poisoning ourselves, and I think we all know that.
Okay, March, and then Laura, and then I think we move on to the next.
It's been a really fruitful conversation.
Yeah.
I wanted to note, because I know that we're, you know, speaking on tape, that I analyzed the contract back in 2021. I fully agree with Deputy County Executive LaValle that the responsibility is there already in the contract for food waste and any other waste law that is created. And that responsibility creates cost, and that cost, we have a mechanism to charge that cost back to the county. And I think there's been uncertainty and reticence to do it, but we're going to have to get over that. And I think this committee and our report can speak to that directly. Education is related to enforcement, and enforcement creates education. You know, it doesn't take many examples to get the word out. And I think, I'm not saying we should want to take an overly aggressive position, but I do think enforcement is a part of education. I also want to note that the agency is not a break-even agency. The agency actually is a profitable agency. It has a very positive net position right now. As of the last audit, you know, audited financials, that was a $16 million positive net position. Of course, obviously, there are a lot of restrictions on portions of that, but the unrestricted net position is $3.4 million. That went up between 21 and 22, $600,000. And so, yes, these things cost money, but yes, there's some money there. I just want to acknowledge that for the record, because I think people will be reading what we have to say here, and I think we need to be clear about that. And then lastly, speaking to that, I also just want to note, going back to what Chair Regis said about the haulers, you know, the haulers have a different set of incentives. When we go to zero waste, it hurts their bottom line. And it's going to prevent maybe their full engagement on some of these topics. I think we need to go into the conversation with haulers with a deep understanding that they're driven by the profit motive, and to the extent that waste is being removed, it's going to drive a reduction in profitability for them. And so when there are places where they can participate in an active and positive way, for example, pickup of food waste, just an example, as a segregated waste stream that people who are buying their services could buy into, we should be aware of that, and we should be cognizant of that. And we really, I agree. I think bringing them to the table and having a good conversation about that would be very helpful, because really they have a different incentive. Really, the more waste, the better from their perspective.
Sure.
Yeah. I am sorry I have to leave early, but I think this conversation has been great. And
before she leaves, can you guys do the minutes that was not approved?
Okay. Absolutely.
I'll make a motion to approve.
So ask for a motion.
Designing.
I'll move
it. Yeah, we need to vote. So motion to approve the January 18th minutes. So,
I moved it.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I abstain.
Right.
And then can I just finalize and say one last thing? This is exactly where I know we're going to talk about the shared drive later, but I just want to note Deputy County Executive LaValle sent around a list of transfer stations. It would have been good to have that in a meeting packet for today, and it never made it onto the drive. So I really feel like I'm not sure what our process is, whether the chair has to approve it, but I would just as soon if any member at this table shares something for...
I mean, I would prefer we just go through our staff, and then any documents you get, if you can add them into the drive.
But if it just goes into the drive in a general way, I won't know it's for the meeting. So, again...
Mark, before you leave, I just want to say I am really concerned about how we're going to develop the report. We talk a lot at the meetings, and there are good minutes. But I had suggested that those recommendations go into a document that we review and say, yeah, that's where we're at so far. And Mike, I just want to say that as chair, if any of us were chairing, your responsibility is to manage the meetings, check the agenda. It's not to write the document. I think we all need to write the document.
I would agree. I'm just saying, I figured we would finish the topics that we agreed to and then deal with that section as a whole, as opposed to, we're continuing reviewing the ZWIP. When we're done with diversion, I agree it's not my responsibility.
How will it get from us talking and a recording being made?
Well, somebody is going to have to write it, and I admit I assumed that I would put a draft together of it and then that we would discuss it as a body. I'm not saying I'm going to write it.
We also talked about taking sections of the minutes and having the responsibility on members to go through those minutes and identify those sections that need to be in the report, those things in the minutes that need to be in the report.
And when is that?
We talked about actually people bringing it to this meeting.
Right.
And no
we
one
did. At the last meeting, we talked about that.
So I'm bringing it back up as a reminder because I don't want to get to June and have us done, weeks and weeks worth of talking and not have a document.
Understood. But also, we got to be cognizant of we're a third of the way through and we're not even halfway through the first topic yet. So I sort of feel like... And we did sort of talk about this at the first couple meetings, is these were the subheaders, the four or five that we identified, and maybe it was just in my mind, but I think other people had said the same thing, is those would lead themselves to the generalized topics of the report, but I hadn't felt like we were to the end of a topic yet to be... if we're constantly trying to write the document until we finish a topic, I think it's kind of, then you're backtracking. So.
Can I go on a little tangent here before she leaves also?
Yeah.
Aside from the OneDrive, not the meeting materials, but there was the agendas, the minutes, and the audio have been uploaded to our website, to the Orange County All-Star website. If you go under the standing committee, and then go under energy and environment. It's right under, if you scroll down to the part where it says additional resources, all the UCRRA stuff is in there. So Tyron already uploaded that. So just
that's
to let you guys know on the side of that.
Awesome.
And again, if you want to, whatever you want me to clean up,
I will call
I can
you.
Clean it up. Okay.
Totally.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
I mean, Matt, I would agree that we hadn't talked about the who would do the final document, and I was not making any assumptions at all, but I was assuming that we would finish a topic and then, work on that section. But so.
I was assuming we would work on it as we went along because, I have some notes, but there are the minutes, but it's a lot of work to go back for 4 or 5
years. Well, that's where I've been... Since we have this WIP, I've been making notes in there, I've been making notes here, plus the minutes, and what in my mind, what I was thinking is I would take all those and put them into sort of bullet point, and from that we would write that section of the chapter. So.
And what I can offer, and it's, I mentioned it before, that for other, there's a lot of time that we all kind of spend getting up to enough of a shared understanding of how UFRA works, you know, how it is regulated, how different planning documents impact it, you know, there's a lot in that landscape that's, it takes a long time to kind of get a good handle on so that then this kind of discussion can happen. For other slightly complicated processes, I've done flow charts before to map those out, and I can start to put those together and the group can consider that for like a background section.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be subsections of it, you know, there has to be a text, or there doesn't have to be, but I'm assuming there'll be a text document of some kind that is an analysis of the overall thing. As with any organization, usually that's tasked with a person or a couple people to eventually put that together. You know, if we're working with a consultant, that will be the job of the consultant, but we don't have that in this situation. So, and to try to write a document by committee at a meeting doesn't really work either, because the amount of time that it takes. I mean, this is the kind of report that's going to take probably tens, if not more hours to write. And so,
could we summarize what we agreed to at the end of each meeting? Would that be helpful? Because otherwise, we have a discussion.
Yeah.
Well, but the minutes are essentially the summary of what we're agreeing to, I would think. I mean, I think we're going to get really long meetings if we're going to talk about everything and then agree what we talked about. I mean, I'm just gathering, like I said, all the points that are being made. I think the discussion of what we agree to is when we discuss the final report.
But can I just...
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for Manna, but are you... Maybe I should just ask Manna. Are you asking whether or not we summarize what we agreed to, not on all the points, but on what we agree to do, to take on, like if we're separating work in any way, that we need to know what we're...
Oh, absolutely. That I would agree with. Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
No, I was like, we just talked for whatever, 45 minutes or whatever it was. I apologize. I had it wrong on my calendar 2 days in a row. But if we talked about composting, can we summarize what we said about composting? People, you know, popcorned ideas or went around and
I understand.
I guess it's right. Going back through the minutes.
No, I think you raise a good point. I mean, I think there is value. The idea of going back through minutes, which are bullet points of every point, in no way reflects whether I agreed with Jim or we reached some consensus. We each just made points, and that's what the minutes summarize. I do think at some point, we're going to have to determine what we're agreeing to in terms of putting in the document. I mean, we haven't been there yet. We haven't done that at all yet.
Right.
We haven't really discussed.
No, to be fair, we haven't even gotten through the first topic yet. And that's what I'm trying to say is, and maybe this was wrong, but this was what I sort of felt the discussion was from the first meeting is, at the end, when we got done with the topic, or at least maybe it's what I imagined, when we got done with the topic, we would create a subchapter, and I'm not sure who the we is, whether it's a person that's assigned to, or whether I take all the minutes and the bullet points and put all that together into a draft that we then, as a body, finesse or pick apart. I mean, at some point, because I think if we do that each meeting, that isn't productive either, because things are very, you know, evolving discussion we have in meeting five may relate back to something we had in two. I don't think we have to come to an agreement at every meeting, or at least I don't feel that way.
Right. And I think also there's valuable content in the meeting that's brought and discussed,
right.
But, you know, I'm starting to think about, you know, we're dealing with a systems problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a big problem. So I'm like, okay, what's the role of the municipal transfer stations? And can we think about ways to take this as a strength? How do we support them?
Yeah.
Is it through they should have an annual seminar at UCRA, like on,
right.
you know, on what's new in, you know, going on this year? They should, we should be supporting them both in what they're doing and also their management and organization. You know, there's just, I think there's going to be some cross-cutting things that come out of this that aren't just the like, some of the discussion.
Well, there'll be a recommended action items. And, you know, taking the SWIP, which already has a lot of this laid out, what I'm hearing is, and the reason we're going through this SWIP, at least that's what I feel, is we're building on that work that was already done, where we're saying that was a great idea, but it needs to be expanded to this. But at some point, all that needs to be combined into a document. 6 months is really kind of unrealistic to review all this. And so we either need to review it really broadly, or we need to just sort of keep moving through and then use the last month to, and maybe we have to have four meetings in the last month to get that finalized document done. And I don't disagree. We have to figure out who is going to do the work for that document, and we definitely haven't had that discussion.
How far are we in diversion?
I don't even think we're halfway through, to be honest. We are in line item number 10 on the simplified topics of 28.
There are 125 lines at least.
Well, I'm looking at the simplified list as 28. Mm,
45.
31, right?
No,
yeah,
the simplified list of white waste types, which is the left-handed one, there's
okay.
28.
I'll go there right
They're
now.
The generalized topics. There's 29, I'm sorry.
And how many have
and
we...
And we're on 10.
We're
on 10. Number 10. So we're not even halfway through it yet.
Can you blow that list up?
Oh, absolutely. But that's not to say all these points aren't valid either. I mean, everything we're bringing, everybody has a different experience that they're bringing to it, a different perspective. That's why the seven of us, our agencies, were picked to be the representative agencies. It's a great discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, the way I'm thinking of this, and I appreciate the discussion, I appreciate everyone at the table, but the way I'm thinking of this is having this discussion inform the kind of analysis that Deputy Executive Laval is talking about. Like, to me, this discussion helps to do the zoom out to think in terms of systems, because I don't see our recommendation being about, like, what to do with rugs, as the example from last time. It's more like, how do we strengthen the system? Like, what are the big...
Right.
Like, yes, there are some big things, and we're all going to come at this from a different place. For me, C&D is a big thing,
yep.
right? Like, so regulation of C&D might be, if I were writing a report, might be one very specific
mm-hmm.
recommendation, because it's of such import. The idea of getting into the weeds on all the different items, the 6 months doesn't lend itself to it, but
agreed.
It's also actually the charge is both more specific and much bigger, because what we're talking about is again, back to W. Sector Laval's point, is addressing the failures in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And even in every one of these conversations, we hear confirmation of that. You
right.
know, that... And we've certainly seen it over
mm-hmm.
all these years from different perspectives.
Right.
From the perspective of being in the legislature or being a supervisor or being on the board or leading the board or being in the executive side of the house.
Right.
So I do think it's valuable. I think we need to move, you know, fairly expeditiously, and then I think we need to do the kind of analysis that
Amanda's referring to. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, we sort of settled into this at the request of some of the members that we get more into the details of to answer the questions, and certainly having identified goals, action items, however you want to phrase it, in our report, a sort of maybe an appendix of this topic diversion, these are bullet points that should be considered, you know, immediately, mid-range and long-term kind of thing. I think that's valuable to the legislature, that's valuable to the RRA, but to analyze all that takes a lot of time.
But as far as time on diversion, just here's a couple of things that might guide conversation. So organics are estimated somewhere around 42% of the waste stream,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Regulated recycling, right below 25% of the waste stream.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes down to, like, textiles, 4.5%, scrap metal, 4.2%. Then you're down into the 1%. You know, which is electronics, tires, textiles, and scrap metal, around the 1%.
Where is C&D in this?
Hold on.
Well, it's just municipal solid waste.
Which report are you looking at?
This is in the zero waste report, and it's included as the focus areas. So it's the tonnage that goes together with these waste materials to then help look at what could be achieved by the diversion. But this is, it's just kind of a, like, just to get a feeling for the percentage of the waste stream that we're talking about.
And that sort of lends itself to what we've done, is like when we talked about the bulky items, we talked about those for 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes maybe, whereas food waste now we've talked about for 45 minutes.
And C&D, total amount generated in this estimate is almost 80,000 tons.
What percentage of the waste?
So that would be
80,000 tons. When? Annually?
Yeah. So I don't know what year. I have to scroll to the bottom. But if we're looking total, hold on.
We should talk to Oneida Herkimer and see what, since theirs is regulated, see what their C&D is annually, because it'll be in terms of percentage.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I mean, that goes back to if any members here want to bring information that you can gather from other organizations as to how they're doing it and get that into the shared drive and for a specific meeting when we're going to talk about it, that's perfect.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one of the things that can relieve our anxiety is that this report is viewed as a beginning and not an end.
I agree.
Because there's so much that's going to come out in the next year and so much that has to be done. So I would look at it, I would tend to look at it more in bigger picture recommendations than going through every...
I couldn't agree more. We went down this path because of it was requested that we talk about reuse and diversion as the most important aspect of it and hence the amount of time we've spent on it. I don't think we're going to spend as much time on distribution as we are on diversion, personally.
And I also like deputy. I just want to say.
Distribution.
Oh, disposal. I'm
disposal.
Sorry.
Disposal. And if I may, mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. That even though this seems to be taking a disproportionate amount of time, it's not going to be a whole lot to talk about disposal. We either export it. Or we cite a landfill, and it's either Gus or it's not, or it's local, it's countywide.
Well, with all due respect, there's also the option of privatizing, and there's a lot of companies that have lined up who would love to build our facility to privatize. We've already had them approach the RRA.
But it's not as long a list.
Right, right.
So I think that if this is taking six meetings, that could take, you know, two, or, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, your point is well taken, but there's...
My concern is that we take, say, 2 or 3 meetings, And then we move on to some, you know, to the intergovernmental, basically the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't decide on anything, and then we have a report to write, and that's my concern. So
that goes back to where I always anticipated that we would decide at the end of
each
a topic.
Section. All right.
That was kind of where my mindset has always been, and we haven't finished the first topic yet. So,
all right.
And that can be whoever, if any one person or any group of people, or you can each take it on individually, and so.
But getting back to Amanda's point, we can. Percentages can guide how much time
absolutely.
We spend on this, and I think that we probably should start going down that road.
Absolutely, and
I've
been trying to sort of keep us moving.
Right. You've got a lot of diverse minds.
We have a lot of really diverse people and very good, intelligent group of people, all who bring different perspectives. In a way, if we're doing exactly why this committee was formed, we got all the perspectives at one table. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. With that, let's move then on to yard waste. Is there any sort of...
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. How much longer are we going to go? Sorry.
We normally go until, in this case, 2:30. We normally go an hour and a half. We can go longer if people want, but we try to go an hour and a half.
I have a 2:30.
Okay.
So I have a 3:30.
Okay. So I was usually trying to not go more than that because people tend to glaze over after an hour and a half of meeting, I find. We've sort of fallen into that. And the next meetings we've already set. So the last agenda item, we've already set the next two meetings, and I'll just refresh everybody's mind. So do we want to go through a couple more of these topics? We're on the yard waste, then at least we'll have concluded organics.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mela.
I would just say that it's working. I don't think that's an issue that we need to put a lot of time to. Food waste, soiled paper, other forms of organics, but yard waste, most municipalities have that handled between the transfer station and
seasonal curbside pickup, distributed system at the transfer station.
Yeah,
I think that's a perfect program.
An idea that has come to mind, though, some places do pickup of leaves. Like, you know, the residents in more settled areas, the villages, bigger towns where they just rake them in, they go along with the big vacuum. Is there a way to consider doing a shared program that the bigger, you know, the towns that are more rural could piggyback off of, you know, using, because I have a lot of residents who go, I would love to just rake my leaves to the edge of the road and have you guys come along and pick them up.
Mm. They don't do the big vacuum even in Kingston anymore.
Oh, they don't.
Everything has to be bagged.
Yeah. Some places, New Paltz still does the big vacuum.
They need another machine now, and that was bought with grant money.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's
because the bagging, a lot of people can't be bothered.
Hmm.
Yeah, so. A lot of work.
But there is grant money for that, so because it is diversion.
More. That would be my only point to bring in there is better collaboration between agencies, whoever those agencies may be.
More education on the value of fallen leaves into soil health and into pollinators, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of value to just leaving at least some of your leaves in place.
I know.
Tracy. I know we're past it, but I was trying to get to Oneida Herkimer's C&D, and I found out that the EPA estimates that in the U.S. the amount of C&D is double the amount of MSW. So I don't know if that applies here, since it is just MSW, it's just thrown into MSW, and we're not recovering any of it. But either way, I feel like we need to be thinking of it, and that's why I think it's so important that we address it.
For folks who are interested, I just forwarded, it's a version of this spreadsheet that has more tabs in it that includes both as it's handled by UCRA, as it's handled by, as MSW or C&D, and then another spreadsheet that includes the estimates, one might think based on disposal patterns, what's really in the MSW stream that's C&D. So both of those tabs are in that workbook that should be coming to you.
Great.
So with that, and being that it's almost 2:30, why don't we pick up with problematic materials next time? Let's try to do them all sort of as one topic. There's like 9 different lists. There's paint, there's pharmaceuticals, although I know they each have their own unique perspective. We can sort of treat it as one general item with pinpoints of specific issues about them, because that will help us chip away at the list considerably. The next meetings, the 2 next meetings we have scheduled are February 15th, which is a Thursday, and March 1st, which is a Friday. Those were the next 2 that we scheduled,
both
at 1 p.m. Yep. And so we'll continue with diversion at least for one more meeting, and then hopefully from there we'll be able to move into the disposal, and then, which I agree, I think will be a shorter number of meetings, and then hopefully that will leave us a good month for the contract, and then a month to finalize everything.
And while we're doing that, could we maybe, we can do it via email or whatever, but maybe put in what the report's going to look like? Like, I was jotting some notes. Do we want to put in, like, a statement of the review, basically a statement in what we reviewed? Do we want to put in, I don't know, action items, diversion policies,
attach the
minutes as an appendices? I mean, what do we want this report to look like?
Right. I don't have the answer. I mean, in I think action items, I think appendices of like Amanda said, of timelines, I think, you know.
I think, if I may, the recommendations would be included in each section, either by item or a summary at the end of each section. But I think the discussion and then the recommendations.
That's the way my mind was envisioning it. I think the SWIP, as was brought out, was never officially adopted. I think we attach the SWIP, and one of the recommendations is that it be officially adopted with any additions, deletions, changes that we have identified that we think maybe need to be made to it. You know, that sort of speaks for itself. And then the contract itself could be a couple different options. It could be a redline version from the existing contract with changes. It could be more generalized. I mean, you know, certainly the attorneys will hammer out the language of the contract, but we can certainly take the existing and make a red line. In a way, when you're starting with an existing thing like that, it goes fairly quickly. So. Okay. So with that,
The one other thing that we put aside is the Reuse Innovation Center, and why don't we, when we pick up next time we meet,
right,
not to critique the whole thing, but to see how that fits with what we've already gone
over. Well, that fits with all the diversion in general. It is a vehicle for diverting.
The zero waste implementation plan was meant to be the full umbrella, and that's one piece of it.
Right.
And it mostly is supposed to address the things that are not already being handled, diverted by the agency.
Understood. Okay. So, as for a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, everybody. So we'll see you on the 15th.